Hey, everybody, in this episode of the GH Report, Carly starts her trial, Robin learns the true secret of her brother, and, sorry, Peter August can't come to the phone right now. He's a little tied up. The GH Report starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yes, just listen to that song. You know what that means, folks? It's time for the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV, breaking down all the latest goings-on in Port Charles. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran.
And I'm your co-host, Carla Renata.
And, of course, folks, as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and everybody, hop in the chat. Share your thoughts about anything that's been going on in Port Charles lately or anything specifically that we're talking about today. But before we jump into the nitty-gritty of this week's events, what did you think of the week overall?
You know, it was a little, I felt like it was a little slow week again, more toward the end of the week than the beginning of the week.
Got it.
You know, because the trial and stuff happened the last couple of days of this week, so it was like, really? So, yeah.
I am of two minds of court trials in soap operas, and I guess it has to all come down to investment in the story and how well it's written.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, since I'm not that invested in this story, maybe it's just like, man, they're really just dragging this baby out.
You know what's killing me about it, though, is that they're having that, it's almost like a split screen situation between the what's happening in the courtroom and what's happening every place else. And I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. Like, usually when they have courtroom scenes on soap operas, everybody in the town is in the court. And with this particular this particular trial is just a few select people, mostly people that have either been called to testify or that have some kind of close personal connection to Carly.
Well, before we get into the finer details of the trial, let's just right now give a shout out to best background acting to Maurice Bernard. In these trial sequences,
the man was on fire. Why are you clowning my boy, Sonny?
No, you know what? Not only was he great in those scenes, but he's going to be a guest, even though he's not here today, though I look around the studio and see a lot of empty seats.
Keep clowning me. It's all good, because the day he comes, I'm just waiting.
All right.
Because he will come. He will show up.
Nobody would be happier to be proven wrong than me.
Yeah, right. Not.
All right, so
liar, liar, pants on fire.
So we will jump right into it, and let's just start with what seems to be the big thrust this week, and that was Carly's trial, where Diane is trying to sell everybody on the fact that she's guilty by reason of temporary insanity.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how I feel about this. I'm not sure if I am invested in that particular plea. I think I'm more inclined to lean toward what Jason wants her to do, because Jason's like, look, why don't you just fire Diane and give me some time to prove Nell has thrown you under the bus. I think that's your best course, because the way the trial is looking right now, especially after Nell's testimony, homegirl might be sitting with a white jacket on in a few minutes.
I feel like, though, even Jason is the only one that 100% absolutely believes her.
Yeah.
And everybody else is on that sliding scale from kind of 50-50 to, I think at best,
I think
maybe
60-40. Michael believes her.
Michael does.
Michael and Jason are the only two, I think.
Sonny and Diane, not so much.
Especially Diane. Diane's like, little girl. Diane's like, I'm trying to help you. Help me help you.
Now, the one thing I won't complain about with the trial is that means it gives us more time with Carolyn Hennessy, who's always delightful to watch.
Yeah, I love her. She's great. She does really good work on General Hospital and every place else she works, for that matter.
Yeah, so that is the one bright ray of sunshine in these scenes in the storyline, because everything else, man, let's just get it over with already.
And it was painstaking to watch people get on the stand and testify against her, especially Jocelyn. And that one was, that's the one that kind of made me go, maybe you should go with Jason's plan. Because when Jocelyn got on the stand, when Jocelyn and Nell got on the stand, those two people, for whatever reason, made her lose her composure. Not so much with Nell, but with Jocelyn, because that's her kid. And she felt like her kid was being railroaded. And so Mama Bear rose up to stop people from taking care of her. Not stop people from taking care of her, but from stopping people from going in on her kid. And without realizing that that's just helping the prosecution's case and proving that you're off the charts when it comes to your emotions. You can't rein them in.
Because, and with, through Jason and Carly's conversations, we do see that why Jason doesn't want to do it, and Carly's reluctant to as well, is that pleading temporary insanity, even if everything goes her way and she gets out, there's always going to be that potential
stigma.
That stigma and that shadow of a doubt maybe in her kids' minds. Mm-hmm. But what's the deal with mom?
Mm-hmm.
So she's reluctant to do that, and yet Sonny cannot seem to be empathetic to that point of view. It's just like, no, we just, whatever's going to get you out fastest, it doesn't matter.
Because I think Sonny is distracted. Sonny's got his father to deal with. He's got Michael to deal with, and Michael dealing with Nell. Like, he's got a, I feel bad for Sonny right now. Sonny's got a lot on his plate. He's getting it from both ends. He's getting it with the kids. He's getting it with his dad. And in a minute, he's probably going to have an episode, too, because, you know, he's bipolar on the show. So it's just a matter of time before that starts to rear its ugly head.
But I would think that at least in some way he should be able to relate, because with Mike, his dad, it's thing about wanting to have control of yourself. Where am I? I want to be able to, you know, be my own individual, even though I'm losing my memories. Don't coddle me. Let me be the man that I want to be. I want, at least if I can be anything else,
right,
be that.
And let me just enjoy the little bit of life I can right now until things get to that point where I can't remember to enjoy life.
And the thing with Carly is I feel like, just I have to be me. I have to be true to myself. If I start compromising just my own personal self, that I feel like it's I'm not going to be the same, and neither will my relationship with my kids.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like she's torn, like, because there are good arguments for both sides of the coin for her. Like, there's a good argument for her to go through this trial and let justice serve itself, but it's kind of looking like it might not serve itself in her direction, because that prosecutor is fierce.
Very true.
She's really good. So it's like, ooh, like, she came for everybody that got on the she came for, like, nobody was unscathed when they got on the stand with her cross-examining them. I was like, ooh, ouch, what are they gonna do?
What I did like was one, Nell getting out of the witness stand, and then the little, oh.
Oh my God, I laughed out loud at that. I was like, really, Diva? Really? Like, how much pain could you possibly be in sitting down? Because as a pregnant woman, all you want to do is sit down and get off your feet, which are swollen and hurt, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, your back is probably hurting from standing on your swollen and hurt feet. So any woman that's pregnant wants to sit down. She's been sitting down very comfortably, I might add. And then she gets up and all of a sudden she's hurting. I'm like, child, please.
Just got to that one little extra step to just try to sell it to the judge.
I can't. Beautiful. With her. That was just, I couldn't. I laughed at that. Did you?
I did. Laughed. It was,
I
just
laughed
so
out
ridiculous.
Loud. I was like, did she really just do that? But wait, but my favorite part was the look between Carly and Sonny when she did it. They looked at each other like, really?
Yeah.
And then Sonny full on pointed at her like, I was like, no, he didn't.
So, as I was mentioning earlier, my kudos to Maurice Bernard for the great background acting. There was just scenes where he'd be behind Carly, Laura Wright, and just be like...
Oh, making faces.
just delivering the goods on those scenes. It was great. I was more entertained watching his reactions to everything.
Boy, people in the chat room ain't got no empathy for Carly. They're like, this is karma for Carly. They're like, this is karma for Carly. She had it coming. You know, I have empathy for Carly because regardless of everything that she's done, she's still somebody's mother.
Is there a time limit on karma? Because certainly Carly came into poor Charles and she overturned a lot of lives and did a lot of damage.
Yes, but she did. If her own mother can forgive her, then why can't we?
True. But if you're to look back in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years... I mean, certainly, you know, when it comes to her family, she can be kind of overprotective.
She's Mama Bear.
Yes.
She is Mama Bear.
But there was no way that she's been the same kind of Carly that she was when she first came in.
No, not by any. She was, when she first came into Port Charles, she was more like Nell. That's why.
Yes.
That's why Carly cannot stand Nell and has such venomous words and actions toward Nell, because she sees what she did. You recognize. When you got game, you recognize game. She recognizes that girl is up to no good, and she hasn't been from the minute. Remember back in the day, she tried to set up Sonny to make Sonny think that she slept with him?
I'm talking about Nell. Of course.
And Carly did the same thing with Tony when it came to Bobby. So it's just like, you know, I guess in a weird twist of events, it is kind of karma for her. But dang, what a way for it to come. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Jason, always an interesting person to put on the stand, especially in a case where Diane's really having to skirt the fine letter of the law to be able to get Carly off on this, is that Jason is a man who's not going to lie and even tells Diane, don't ask me certain types of questions because I will not lie about what
Which is so interesting that he breaks the law all the time, but he can't tell a lie. That's funny.
I do like he's got that personal code of ethics there.
I love me some Jason. I love me some Steve Burton, but that's just pure comedy to me. You're going to break all kinds of laws, but you can't tell a lie. It's like, get out of here with that.
He works for a coffee importer. That's what he does, Carla. So, folks, we're learning a lot about everybody's history and whether they want to be able to tell the truth or shade things to their own benefit. But if you want to learn love and laugh and grow in all areas of life, you know what you can do? You can check out the podcast that we have here now, Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's created by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos herself, and drops on iTunes every single Friday. It features celebrity and influencer interviews. They talk about life, health, wellness, fashion, everything that you could think about, they discuss it. So let Maria be the big sister that you never had. All you have to do is go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. And when you do, let her know that it was Carla from the GH Report that got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out. So, moving on to the other subject I was bringing up is that we talked a little bit about it last week, but we're going to actually see the conversation happening between Anna and Robin. And
yes, and it sure did enough, happen.
We got it. Was it as satisfying as you had hoped it would be?
It was heartbreaking for me. Because the look on her little face when she asked her about, so when you were holding my kids when they were born, were you just happy that you had grandchildren or were you thinking about the child that you lost? Like, were you thinking about the child that you lost? And when Anna says, yeah, the look on Robin's face was priceless. And I'm like, I felt so bad for both of them because Robin's now like, I don't even know that I've known who you were all this time. Like, I thought I knew who my mom was, but, you know, maybe I don't. And then she says, I love you. And then there's that huge pause before she turns around and says, I love you back. And she almost, she turns around and says, I love you back. Like somebody said, bye.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, yeah, bye. Like, it was like that. I'm like, oh. And that just opened up the floodgates for Weepy Anna to come back, which I was like, if I never see Fionnuala Hughes shed another tear on General Hospital, I'll be good. I'm just like, please.
Give it up to Fionnuala Hughes, though. She can get those waterworks going.
Baby, she can. I mean, Robin was talking to her. Her eyes started getting misty. But I love the scenes between her and Robin, regardless of what the circumstances are, because it's really nice to watch two actors who really have a history on that show together. Because Kimberly McCullough has been on that show since she was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And she came onto the show when Fionnuala Hughes was already on it. So they were introduced to each other as daughter and mom back in the day. And that relationship is still carried on for decades. And it's really lovely to see that on General Hospital, because nowadays we don't see much of that often.
No, it's my favorite parent-child relationship. I followed very closely by Robin and Robert Scorpio.
Yeah.
I was enjoying that dynamic as well, too.
Yeah, it was. I'm wondering if they're going to bring her back so that there can be a little bit of resolution for Anna, because right now it's like she says, I just need some time. I just need some space, which is understandable. You just found out you have a brother by somebody that kidnapped you when you were a kid. Like, that's a lot to process. That's a lot going on. And you found out that your mother kept this from you all this time. That's a lot.
I mean, certainly we know when you're there's always the issue with the soap operas when you're going back into a character and kind of adding more elements to their backstory and their history.
Mm-hmm.
Where through the original timeline, as you're watching it, those things didn't exist because that had never been created. So you've got to be able to kind of, as best you can, justify it in the writing and in the acting. That,
exactly. Oh,
this is something that's always been there. We've just never told you about it.
Right.
And you're like, okay, sure. And sometimes that's great. And sometimes you're like, why?
Why is this happening? I think it's important for that story. I was hating the storyline as it was unfolding, but now that it has come out in the open, I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen with Peter now. We'll get to that in a minute because I got lots to say about that. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens to him, and it's really going to be interesting to see if him and Robin establish a relationship, if Robin comes back and she's able to forgive Anna, like, Those are real issues and real problems that a lot of families have, you know, with people having babies that folks don't know about. That happens in real life all the time. So it'll be really interesting to see how that all unfolds. I'm interested in that.
I would hope that at the very least we can get a scene of just Robin and Peter meeting and at least talking.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I would love to see her just drop kick him one good time. I just want to see Robin kick him into the next oblivion. That's what I want to see. I want to see some fighting.
All right, you got just a little throw punch.
I just need her to drop kick. I need her to drop kick Peter one good time. That's all I need. Just one good drop kick.
Just like a good old Captain Kirk against the Gorn kind of drop kick. Just a psh, boom.
No, I mean a drop kick where she's like maybe this is it. Because Robin, for the most part, has been very, you've never seen Robin snap. In all these years that Robin's been on General Hospital, you've never seen her snap. The closest she ever came to snapping was when Stone died. That's the closest, I think, is when Stone died. And maybe when she was trying to get back to, I can't remember the actor that played her husband, but I remember his real name, Jason.
Oh, Patrick Drake.
Patrick Drake. So she snapped when that was, when she couldn't get back to her family. She snapped just a little teeny tiny bit with that, but she really snapped when Stone died. And other than that, in the 20 some odd years that she's been on that show, you haven't really seen her lose her composure.
She did a little bit during that postpartum depression storyline, right? After she had Emma.
Yeah.
To a little
bit. But I'm even with that, it was just like a smidgen. Yeah. I would really like to see her just lose her stuff. Just like lose it. I just need for Robin not to be composed this one time in her life. I just need for her to just pop all the way off.
Robin, we'd love you to come in a couple weeks. And
I just want her to pop off. I just need for her to, you know, feel some kind of way about that.
We're just going to have you pop off for a little bit. Okay? I'm not really going to write a script. You know your character so well. Just pop off for a little bit. While they're over in Berkeley and Anna's having that conversation with Robin, Finn goes across the street to a coffee shop to get a little scone, a coconut, and some other flavor scone. I was like, intriguing. I don't know if I'd go for that.
I can't even believe you focused on the scone flavors, but okay.
It's important. That scone flavor, man, you got to, you know, I got to make sure I'm intrigued by this. Yeah. But just by random coincidence, he happens to meet his own father. Yeah. And we already know there's not a lot of love lost between them.
That was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons.
And it seems, at least from what we've heard so far, that it seems to boil down to Finn's mother died. He quickly
hooked up with somebody. Well, his mother died, and then...
Then a month or so.
Yeah, a month later or so, something, a short period of time, we should say. His stepmother, for all practical purposes, is giving birth to Chase. So, yeah, I can understand why he'd be feeling some kind of way about Chase, because it's a constant reminder of what his father did in the memory of his mother. It was very disrespectful. And then his father's trying to act like everything's hunky-dory and okay. He's like, look at you. He says, aren't you proud of your brother? And Finn's like, let's not act like everything's all right. It's not. I'm like, yes. I'm glad you said that, because that's crazy talk.
True, but also I guess that's the thing, is we don't know enough about the father's side of it as well. Because we have no idea what relationship between Finn's mother and father was. Whether it was a terminal disease, maybe, and that she was knowing that, you know, she was not going to be here. And she's like, please, move on. Find somebody that's going
to
make you happy.
I'm sure we'll have some flashbacks to tell us all about that.
Some sweet flashbacks would be great. But, I mean, because it's been, like, at least the way they describe it, like at least 20 years or so since they'd seen each other.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Somebody said something would be wrong if you weren't focusing on a scone flavor.
That's right.
I just had to throw that in there because that made me laugh.
Absolutely. That's the crucial elements. I don't care about.
You're like, forget about the father and son situation. What flavor is the scone?
I'll drop all that. I don't know. Does coconut seem like a great flavor on the scone? Everybody in the chat, now discuss. Would you want coconut on your scone? I don't know if I... Yeah, I don't mind coconut, but I don't know if
on
I want
a scone,
that on scone.
No.
I don't know.
No.
But, you know, do you feel... quick side tangent then. Do you feel like Robin is somebody that you would trust her opinions on food?
Would I trust Robin's opinions on food? That's a good question. I don't know that I would.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know that I would.
Well, there you go.
Well, actually, I take that back. Maybe I would, because she's a bit of a little world traveler. So maybe I would trust her opinion on a couple of things. Not everything, though.
I'd be willing to give it a shot. I mean, if somebody seemed to be so enthusiastic about a food item, I'd at least have to give it a try.
Of course you would.
Yeah, I mean, I might not agree with it after I've taken that bite, and I might hate them forever for steering me down that road, but I will at least give them the, like, all right, I'm going to give it a try.
You can't say that when I'm drinking water. You have to save those comments.
So we finally at least get a chance to see Finn open up to somebody. He did, you know, slightly to Alexis, but at least it was nice with Anna.
Yeah.
He opened up more about his family's history.
They opened up with each other. That was a nice scene between them where she opened up about Robin, and he was very encouraging to her, and she opened and he opened up to her about his dad, and she was encouraging to him. That was a really nice scene. I really enjoyed that.
Now, were you surprised at all that he joined her on that trip?
No.
There you go. That's good old Finn. Right there.
No.
Jumping in.
No, not surprised at all.
Put yourself in Anna's shoes. You're going over, you're across the country to talk to your daughter about that tremendous kind of secret and shame that you've had in your life that you've hid from
her. He went to support her.
But I'm just saying, if you're in her position and then the man that you're kind of dallying with, kind of interested in, have at least a friendship with, surprises you on the plane to go take that journey with, are you going to be like, what are you doing? Or would you be like, no, thank you for coming?
It depends. It depends on how I feel about that person. Now, if this is somebody who I'm not quite sure how I feel about them, I might not want them in my business like that. If this is somebody, like in her case, where she kind of does want him in her business, then yeah, she's Weepy Anna, then she would want a shoulder to cry on and somebody to be there for her so that she doesn't jump off the ledge, so to speak.
So Finn only gained points by doing this?
Of course, absolutely.
All right. All right, but
you don't think so?
For Carla, you would lose points. She wants that flight. I want to go solo.
No, I'm just saying it would depend on how I felt about that person. For example, if it was some ex that was trying to get back with me that knew about this situation, however they knew about it, and they showed up, I don't know how I feel about that. If it was somebody that I was currently dating that somehow found out, I don't know how I feel about that. Did they go through my stuff to find out? Because I might not have told them. I might have kept it to myself. And if they're going through my stuff to find out where I am, then that makes me look at you with one eye open, because I'm like, why are you going through my stuff?
For me, I would want them only to meet me there. I would never want to see them on the airplane, because I'd want to talk and I'd want to sleep. I sleep like that on an airplane. So I don't want anybody talking.
You say you want to talk and you want to sleep. Oh, my God, no. I can't.
They're going to be like, hey, I came here to help you out and support you. Chat, chat, chat. I'm like, I got to go to sleep. So you can be in another row. Just surprise me when we get there. That's great, because I'm going to be all right. Now, speaking of like digging into your stuff, let's talk about Nell and Michael real quick.
Oh.
So, of course, Michael's pulling He's pulling one on Nell.
But he was stupid. Like, why are you out on the Quartermain patio? Like, I get why he initially thought that was a good idea, because it's outside. But hello, outside, voices echo. Everybody can hear you. So if she was in the house somewhere, she would hear him talking. And naturally, she gonna walk in the room to see what he doing.
Voices carry, as the song goes.
And catch him on the laptop. Like, what are you doing? The look on her face, I felt bad for her. Because the look on her face, she kind of looked a little hurt. And I never say that about Nell. Like, I never feel bad for Nell about anything. But that moment, I did kind of feel for a sister for a second.
Do you think she buys Michael's excuse? Like, I thought this was my computer. Oops.
No, she don't buy that.
So already she's suspecting Michael is working her.
I'm feeling like she's going to try to do something to Michael.
Like kill him?
I don't know what she's going to. I don't think she would kill him. But she's going to do something to him. If she finds out that he's trying to throw her under the bus to save his mother and he's been lying to her all this time, she's going to try to do something. She'll do something to him.
So we do see that Michael is reaching out to Spinelli. What I didn't like about that is, like, I don't mind. I agree. Going out on the patio is fine. But the fact that he then pivots away from the study. No. If you're going to do that, you got to be looking right at it. So
only she starts walking, you need to start talking. Like, yes. I agree with you on that. Like, what were you thinking? Why were you sitting to the side? Because even though it's peripheral vision, what peripheral vision does for you is it brings to your attention that somebody's here, but then you got to turn to see who it is, and then you got to figure out how you're going to react to it. That's way too much time.
Yes.
That's why she was looking at him with one eye open. Like, why are you trying to find a story to lie?
Because I was excited when Michael went out back to the patio. I'm like, yes, that's smart, because you know Nell's just probably hanging outside that door, just ready to listen in on anything you're doing.
Let's talk about that Snoo for a second. What the hell is the name for? Why is somebody naming a carriage Snoo? Is that a real name? Do you know?
The way they talked about it, it's got to be real. I swear, that seems like a product placement to me.
I was like, Snoo? It sounds like something from a Dr. Seuss book. I was like, I couldn't.
I should just see if this is a real thing, because they just talked about it. It just reminded me of that.
They kept saying it over and over and over again. I'm like, oh my goodness, can we just not talk about the Snoo anymore? Can we please just not go there?
It reminded me of the Olay thing from the Nurse's Ball. They really just
right,
got
Oil
in
of Olay. Yeah. Right, exactly. Exactly. Let's thank our sponsors, Oil of Olay. Or, no, she didn't even call it Oil of Olay. She just called it Olay.
Yep.
She just called it Olay.
Olay.
While you're looking for that.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, it is the happiest baby, the Snoo Smart Sleeper. Yeah. There
so
you go.
I guess it was a product placement.
It is right there.
Well, how about that?
But luckily, Monica Quartermain is a
came
whiz.
In to save the day.
She's
I mean,
doctor.
She's a surgeon, yes. So she can put people back together. Why can't she put together
so there you
a
go.
Crib?
Check it out. There's a Snoo.
I saw it. It's cute. Reviews. When they finally put it together, I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. But really?
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Now, speaking of Monica Quartermain, she gets visited by three people this week. The first two, Kiki and Elizabeth, saying,
yes.
Hey, we got to tell you what the deal is with Dr. Bench.
Yes.
And we see all the repercussions from that, where very quickly Dr. Bench is able to, like, nope, I wouldn't talk to the board. You had a glowing recommendation letter.
Like, did I miss something? They didn't show him talking to the board. Okay. No. I would have liked it, because I'm like, did I miss that? Like, I kept rerunning, because I'm like, did I miss it? I would have liked to seen him in the board. I would have liked to seen what he said. I would have liked to seen what they asked him. But I guess they can't have everybody having proceedings going on, because they got Carly in court. And then they have Dr. Bench going through his thing. But I was appalled and amazed at how quickly they came to that decision. Like, they talked to him one time. They never even talked to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then made the decision that he's been dismissed, which to me was very dismissive of her charges. Like, what she said didn't matter. I'm like, wow, really?
This would seem to me a behavior 3 years ago, 4 years ago. You would have seen something like this. But I guess now, given everything that we've seen as a society with, you know, Time's Up, Me Too, things like that.
Exactly.
And I know Monica did touch on that. She's saying that society's moved farther than the hospital's regulations. But it does seem weird that a hospital would have such a blind eye to the greater world.
That's what I'm saying. That was disturbing to me, especially because we are living in the chapter of Me Too and Time's Up, that you would, excuse me, give... I don't even know how to verbalize this. That you as producers and writers would sweep that under the rug so quickly, so that you could give more time and space to this other thing going on over here with the Corinthos. And I understand that the soap opera is built around two families, the Quartermains and the Spencers. Initially, is what General Hospital was built on, and it seems to have shifted over to the Corinthos family, right? But I'm just like, I was annoyed by that happened so quick. And then I was further annoyed at the fact that Kiki goes to talk to Alexis about it. She goes to talk to Lulu about it. Lulu is now Lulu is the only reporter in Port Charles now. Is she
the only one
there? So you know what I mean? So she goes to talk to Lulu. What is Lulu going to do? Lulu can't do anything about it without her or the paper getting sued, because they can't back up anything that they say, or her going to jail, because she can say, I can't reveal my source and go to jail. She's not going to go to jail because Dante would knock her into the next millennium. So there's that. And then the other thing is, with Alexis jumping to her defense, I kind of applaud the fact that they have I applaud the fact that Alexis is the person that's standing beside her and in her defense, but I'm really annoyed that it's not Monica, because she's a hospital professional. She's a hospital administrator. Like, that, the way that that's unfolding is very disturbing to me.
When they threw that layer on, that Monica, as part of her title, had to agree to step
away
from this.
Like, I got that, but
I agree. It makes it... I have to admit, the performance just makes me feel like that she's also ambivalent, and I don't think that's the case at all for Monica.
Yeah.
But just the way that it's coming across to me as I'm watching, it just seems like...
It is coming across like, I'm sorry, she's on her own, whatever. Yeah, I'm just like, and I'm just like, ew, I don't know how I feel about that. And I love Patty McCormick, but I did not care for that. And I really feel bad for Kiki. Now, what's going to happen to her? Are they going to let her go from the hospital? Is she going to have to quit? Like, what's going to happen to her? And why does anything have to happen to her? Why does he get to keep his job and she's walking around all angst? That annoys me.
Yeah, it's just, and I don't know if they're doing this. They're taking a lot of liberties, the writers are, just to create more tension in the storyline. But I rather would have seen a more just kind of a realistic response given the time that we're in today.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm totally with you on that one.
So as we're speaking about Alexis, of course, while she's got this going on, she also has been having these intriguing notions about her family. Learning more about Mikos. And to do so, she's reaching out to Valentin.
Which I was like, why? Like, after everything that's happened, Valentin is your go-to person, really? Okay.
But who else is she going to go to at this point?
Nobody, because he's the only Cassadine in Port Charles other than her. So there's that. But I'm just like, ugh, really?
I mean, I love the Cassadines as a concept. They're a great family. But it feels like lately the times they've tried to, and I don't know if they've really given it a full effort to kind of re-energize it. It seems like the biggest time is when they brought Valentin on to re-energize the Cassadine family. But the other ones, it's just been kind of fits and starts, and they've always kind of petered out.
Yeah, I mean...
When they brought Stavros back.
It petered out after they got rid of Nicholas, because Nicholas was the mainstay for keeping the Cassadine thing alive on General Hospital. And then once they killed off Nicholas and got rid of Spencer... and got rid of Laura, it just kind of went, it just went away. So there's that. But there was all that anticipation for her about what was in that envelope. She put it in the fireplace. She was going to burn it, and then she didn't. Then she took it to the doctor and wanted to talk to him. And I love Kevin was like, look, I'm going to need you to make an appointment.
You just can't keep walking.
Kevin was like, you can't just keep walking. I love the fact that he said that, because somebody at home watching that would be like, really? She just go walk in the office and never make an appointment? So I love the fact that he said that. But she goes in, she's like, rah, 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 rah. And then she comes out and she's still got this envelope. And then she finally decides to see what's in it. And it's this watch. And then the camera leaves. The camera is on her face with her with this look on her face. Like she might actually know who the watch belongs to. Like, is it her mom? Like, who is it Helena's watch? Like, whose watch is it? So I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out if Mikos had any bit of good in him, or is he just a monster from beginning to end?
I don't know. We know about it. Everybody else that was a man in the Cassadine family, even Nicholas had his moment, was kind of not lovely, so.
No, I mean, even Stefan, yeah, he had his, he was good until he wasn't.
Everybody had their moments, so yeah.
Speaking of people having their moments there, let's talk about Obrecht, because...
Yes! Oh, my God. Her doing the whole misery thing gave me life. I love her so much. And I love the fact that she had that hatchet. I'm like, ooh, no, she's not going to take off a limb. I'm like, are they doing misery on General Hospital?
So we find out, they set it up to make you think like, oh, hey, Nina was the one that kidnapped Peter August and tied him up in the cabin.
But I told you, didn't I tell you I knew it wasn't her?
That's right.
I knew it wasn't her.
It was Obrecht. She did it.
But I'm still like, she got muscles because he ain't no light thing. So there's that.
It seems, their plan seems so ridiculous,
though. It's so far-hatched. It's so crazy and off the charts. And I'm just like, Nina's not, and clearly Nina is still grieving because she's not thinking clearly. Really? You gonna join forces with your crazy mama? Really?
I did like her talking to Alexis, and just the hypothetical. I knew somebody was doing a crime. I was just kind of watching.
I love that. love that. And then and I also loved when she popped off on Peter. Like, she let him have it one good time and just went off and was yelling at him. I'm like, ooh, no. Well, I'm glad she got that out of her system.
Yeah, he's not your brother. He's my brother. Never talk about him. No, don't do it.
She let him have it. I'm like, ooh, that was harsh.
I just don't know how long the storyline's going to go, and that just seems kind of like... it's great to have Kathleen Gotti on the show doing her thing, but I'm also like, how long can you really keep Peter August just tied up in a bag? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot going on with that.
And then we also, real quick, Drew, it just seemed to do a very quick 180 in regards to the DNR and doing the whole procedure without the flash drive.
Yeah, something happened. I can't remember what it is now. Something happened to talk him out of it.
Well, Oscar came over about the internship, invited him to this thing, and he's like, what it was. I can't do this now.
Yeah, huh? that actually makes sense that he wouldn't do it because of Oscar. That's probably the only thing that does make sense. Like, everybody else trying to talk him out of it had their own selfish motives. Kim wanted it because she wants him. You know, Sam wanted it because she feels guilty about kicking him to the curb and wants to try to make up for it. But the only person who didn't have an ulterior motive in all of that was Oscar.
Look at that. And now Drew has got the keys to the Quartermain Mansion and is moving back in.
I know.
Didn't that seem like Michael or Nell?
Right,
like,
in the nick of time. No, they're
like,
their faces were like, what you mean he moving in? They're like, That was funny. I laughed at that too. They looked like, what?
Nope. Okay.
Because him being there is going to undermine what either one of them are trying to do to each other.
But I know Drew would have Michael's back though.
I don't know. He may not.
You don't think so?
You never know.
Come on.
Child, stranger things have happened in the world of poor Charles. I'm just saying.
There's too much adjacent in Drew for him not to back Michael in whatever play he's going.
I don't know. He may not. He may. He may not. We'll never know.
Well, I think we will know because it's becoming.
I mean, we will, but you know, it's just a speech thing. You know what I'm saying?
Another couple things is that of course we got Curtis and Sam. They're going to be going into business together. Seems
yes,
like.
Private eye business.
Fine, I've always wanted Drew and Curtis though.
But we knew Sam and Curtis was. We knew that was going to happen. But Drew felt some kind of way about that. He kind of wasn't having it.
But I did like that that Curtis was straight up with him and told him what the deal was.
He did, but you could see on Drew's face, he's like, so are we cool? And Drew was like, yeah, but then that look on his face was like, He had the look on his face like, yeah, I'm saying I'm cool, but I'm really kind of not. And I'm not quite sure why he's not. But you know what made me tee-hee out loud was the scenes with Aunt Stella. Aunt Stella cannot stand Jordan. She just will not give poor Jordan a break.
No,
she won't. Jordan is like, look, I'm trying here. I'm trying. And she's like, don't hurt yourself.
Yeah.
She's like, don't bother yourself with all that. And Jordan was like, Jordan had that look on her face like she was going to try to drop kick her in a minute. Because she kept coming back with, you know, she kept trying to be the bigger person, and Aunt Stella just kept coming with her with one quip after another. It was comical.
Well, the other thing I liked about Jordan is that she's telling Curtis she's feeling the heat, especially from Ned and the rest of the community, the higher-ups, because Peter August escaped on her watch, that she's got a limited amount of time to try to find him, or she could be out of the job.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know what? After this, I gotta sharpen up this force. I'm like, that is never going to happen.
No, it's not.
Because this department has to be like one step behind everybody to make any of these storylines work.
It's like the Keystone Cops. Yep. The PCPD is the Keystone Cops for real.
You cannot make it happen. Everybody's going to be coming in and out of this place constantly.
It is the Keystone Cops. But I love how almost every person in Port Charles has been the commissioner at some point or another. That just makes me laugh. Like in a minute, there's not going to be anybody left.
And everybody and anybody can just sneak into that interrogation room. So easy.
Like, it is amazing to me how many people just walk in and out of that interrogation room. Folks just kind of come and go as they want, like yeah. It's the bathroom. That's right. I don't understand what's going on there.
And real quick, we got to see a couple scenes with Lulu and Dante, where it kind of heated up about Dante's feelings
yes.
about how Lulu was approaching her reporting
yes.
duties.
I heard through the grapevine he might be leaving. The guy that plays Dante.
I hope that's not the case.
I heard through the grapevine he might be leaving, so maybe this is a precursor to him bouncing out of Port Charles.
But I felt like it's something that I think everybody's realized, like, this has been really quick with Lulu being a reporter.
That whole storyline is just like, it happened too fast. She gained notoriety too quick, and now she's like the go-to person when it comes to a news story in Port Charles. I'm like, get out of here with that.
Well, I mean, come on. Carla, you were called on to be the number one guest on Scott Mance's show on Collider.
I wasn't called to be the number one.
Yes,
but
you
I
were.
Was, no.
Yeah, you were.
I was asked. Yeah, you were. I was asked to be the one of the first. Myself and Jenna Bush.
Lose the one of. Boom. There you go.
I wasn't alone. Yeah. I was let alone.
But before we wrap up, though, folks, just a little bit of news for you folks.
AfterBuzz TV News.
And maybe a little hot goss with that as well, too, is that we've been talking about the Cassadines.
Yes.
You know, they are very depleted. We've only got Valentin right now.
Yep.
But there is talk because Stephen Nichols, his contract negotiations have broken down with Days. And he hasn't taped anything since March.
What?
So there is talk about possibly he may be making a return to Port Charles. Who knows? That's a speculation going around. Would you want to see Stephen Nichols return as Stefan?
Hell yeah. That would be awesome.
I'd be down. Absolutely.
I'd be down for that.
So we can keep our fingers crossed for that. That would give you a nice shot in the arm to the Cassadine storyline right there.
Yep, sure would.
Do you think he and Valentin see eye to eye, or are they antagonists?
I think they would be antagonists. For at least a split second. And then for the sake of the name, they might, you know, see things in the same light.
Plus, it'd be great to have Alexis have somebody else to talk to. Because not without Nicholas, she really has no other close relatives at all.
None.
So hopefully that would become the case. I mean, Frank Valentin has been saying, big things are happening. So could that be an announcement that's coming up soon? We'll be curious to find out. Mm-hmm. Now, with our remaining minutes, we should probably do some predictions about what we think is going to be happening.
Well,
and now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I'm feeling like we're going to see a little bit more of the trial. That trial is probably going to take up most of the week next week, is what I'm thinking. A good portion of the storyline is going to be taken up with that trial. And I'm thinking that Carly's probably going to fire Diane so that Jason can do his thing. Because if they let this trial go on the way that it's going, she's going to go back to Pattonville or back to the Lulu Bin or wherever it is that they send people when they have been found guilty by reason of insanity. I think we're just going to see more of that. We're going to find out whether or not Jordan's going to get kicked to the curb. We're going to find out whether or not Nell is on to Michael and what she's going to do about it. That's what I think the three key things are going to be for next week.
Over under 2 weeks of this storyline happening, wrapping up with Nell.
Oh, over.
No.
Over. Oh. It's going to be just as painful as watching her torture Carly, I think.
I feel like the storyline's got to wrap up, or at least her lies have got to be exposed. Carly's got to be able to go free. Then she's got to go into labor and have the baby, and then the custody battle happens between Nell and Michael for this baby. Because there's no way that Michael's going to want to let Nell have any sort of custody.
She's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, no. Mm-mm.
But of course, Nell's not going to go into the night quietly.
Now, wouldn't it be interesting if she lost the baby? After all of this, she loses the baby anyway.
I feel like that takes any fuel for future stories right out of there. Because I feel like you've already got the next storyline set up with a custody battle. I think as she loses the baby, then it's just like, well, see you later. See you later. All right. Bye-bye. And you're like, there's not much left to do after that.
Yeah, I think she gonna fire Diane though. I think Carly's gonna fire Diane, and somehow Nell is gonna end up being called back in as a witness. Somehow she's gonna end up being called back in.
She's gotta lose it on
the final nail in the coffin, is what I think.
And we know that the blanket is in play because Nell just kind of holds that over Ava at the courthouse.
And I'm wondering, and this is the thing, that's what I want to know. How long is it going to take before they realize Ava's the one that has that blanket?
It should be so quick.
Like,
come on, Carly, you got to be better. Like, all it takes is Jason to say, like, who else was in there? Who else went up the stairs that you saw? Boom, there we go.
Nobody saw anybody else go up the stairs, but the Quartermains have cameras in that house, so all they got to do is look at a camera.
Well, Ava said she was going to go check on the kids. So she told it to everybody and then went upstairs. So. Come on, everybody. You know who's up. You know who's got that blanket.
Ava's got the blanket.
To find out if we're right, though, we're going to have to wait 2 weeks because we're off next week, folks.
Yes.
So we'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll see if any of our predictions came true. But in the meantime, folks, thanks for watching. We always enjoy doing the show with you folks. And as always, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat, sharing your opinions. Trust me, give a coconut's gone a try. Why not? What do you got to lose? Life is short. Try those coconut's gones. But if you want to stay in touch with any of us, even after the show's over, Carla, where can they find you?
You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. And check me out at 5 o'clock right before the GH Report at Black Tomatoes on BHL.
That's right. And make sure you check her out on Collider with the other movie news.
No, I just did that one time.
But just one time, but still go look at it. Doesn't mean that you can't.
All right. Go look at movie news, movie review news with Scott Manz on Collider.
Look at that. First guest right here. You do that because that's quality right there. Ladies and gentlemen, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. We'll see you folks in 2 weeks right back here in the studio with another episode of the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.